Good morning. Today's daf is daf Ayin Dalet in Zvachim. We're on the bottom of Ayin Gimel Medes. We're Tarovis. We're in the topic of Tarovis. We're doing the Perek that deals with Tarovis. And today's going to be interesting. A lot of the more complex concepts that come up in the world of Tarovis is going to be coming up today. Concepts of Sveika and Dichui and okay, good. A lot of good stuff for today. We had the discussion yesterday, which really was a continuation of the beginning of the parak. How come there's no bittul? When you have one animal that's usur that gets mixed up with a number of animals that are mutter, so the Mishnah says unequivocally there's simply no bittul. There's not going to be nullification. Why not? So the Gemara essentially says it's a davar chashuv, it's significant. Either because it's a unit of something that's sold by unit, which generally speaking is considered a davar chashuv, or the Gemara said yesterday in the name of Rav Ashi is that's because Balei Chaim, live animals are considered a davar chashuv and therefore not subject to bittul. That is why no bittul takes place. The Gemara then entertains the following question. Okay, but there's a way to come up to some sort of resolution, and that is called the parish maruba kaparish. We have a concept that when you have a mixture, when you have a tarovis, and something walks away from the tarovis, something, you know, the tarovis is now in motion, and something walks away, so we have a concept of called the parish maruba kaparish, which is that we assume that whatever walked away is from the majority of the animals are kosher. So isn't there a method in which we can just simply get all the animals to start running around, and now use the concept of called the parish maruba kaparish? So Rava says on that, this is Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, which we did yesterday. Rava says that's a gzeira. You're right. Theoretically, you're absolutely right. We could do that, but we're worried that people don't understand that, and that it's a fine line between being kavua versus being in motion. And so Rava says because of that concern, we're going to make a gzeira, and the gzeira is that even if it's parish called the bruba, even if it's in motion, it doesn't matter because we're worried that people will take away one of the tarovis even in a state of kavua. Okay, that's the gzeira that Rava says, and Rava says, look, it's such a strong gzeira that I'm telling you, even if you offer the karbanos, right? Even if you offer the karbanos, even though the majority of the karbanos are fine, and even if you could use this method of getting all the animals to move around, and now we're in a situation called the naidi, called the parish maruba kaparish, Rava says still it's not going to work. It's not going to be a ritzu. It's not going to be acceptable. This is all the opinion of Rava. So yesterday the Gemara attacked and challenged Rava based on a brisa. So let's go back to where Eisvei. We're in the middle of Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. I did this yesterday, but just to get us back into the groove of the Gemara. Eisvei, the Gemara says, I'm going to challenge Rav Huna Bar Yehuda LaRava. The Gemara has a direct challenge against Rava. Chatas shenisarva ba'olav olav shenisarva bechatas. Okay, Mishnah and Kinnim. But this is one of the early Mishnahs in Kinnim. It's not so bad. The Mishnah in Kinnim talks about a bird chatas and a bird ola getting mixed up together, a group of them. Afilo achas beribu yamusa. What if it's one in 10,000, all the birds have to die. Yamusa kulan b'medvar mamor b'kohen nemlach. Now that's if the Kohen asked the question beforehand. If he asked questions in any shoot, he wouldn't be shooting. So aval b'kohen she'in nemlach. But if the Kohen is not asking any questions, asan lamala mechza kasha mechza pasul lamata mechza kasha mechza pasul. So if he does it, so it's going to be some of it's good. Half of it's going to be kasha, half of it's going to be pasul. If he does it below, achas lamata v'achas lamala shnim. I'm sorry. If he does it below, half are going to be kosher and half are going to be pasul. Achas amata v'achas amalef. One he did above and one he did below. Shneim psulos. They're both going to be pasul. Shani omer chatas kreva l'malef ola kreva l'mata. That's the Mishnah in Kinnim. Okay, but what comes out from this Mishnah in Kinnim is very clear. Remember, what did Rava say? Rava says you can't use these animals. Period. Okay, why? Because of Gzeira. The Gzeira says you can't use the animals. Oh, what if I get them all to move around and I start plucking out the animals one out at a time? Which in theory would be called the Parsh Maruba Kaparsh and would mean every animal would be okay. Rava says, I don't care. Why does Rava say, I don't care? Right? What is behind that? What's behind that, we said this at the end of yesterday's daf, I'm just going to reiterate. What's behind that is the concept of dichui. Meaning once the animals were in a mixture, and because they're Balei Chaim, and because they're Chashuvim, there's no bittul, So therefore, all these animals have become disqualified. They're nitche. They're pushed off. Okay, there is a method to get them out of their state of dichui. But as the Gemara is about to articulate in just a moment, Rava doesn't care. Right? There's no dichui. So because they were in this tarovis, and because at one point they were disqualified, they remain disqualified. The Mishnah and Kinim, Mishnah and Kinim doesn't subscribe to that. The Gemara is going to point this out as well. The Mishnah and Kinim says, yes, it's true. In the tarovis form, it's no good. But if the Kohen did it without asking, and he shouldn't have, but if he did, so then it's going to be okay. Well, what about the Mishnah over there in Kinim? Mishnah doesn't hold of dichui, especially considering that we're talking about live animals. Right? Remember, we have many gradations of the discussion of dichui. Right? The most extreme position, which the Gemara is going to ascribe to Rava, is that there is dichui by live animals. Most Tanayim, Amorayim don't subscribe to that. So the Mishnah Kinim doesn't subscribe to that. But at least in our explanation of Rava, the Gemara is going to say essentially that. Rava holds that because they were in a mixture together and because the rabbis inhibited Bittul, so all those animals now are disqualified. Okay, but what if I could get them out of that state? Rava says, I don't care. Because once it's pushed off, it's pushed off. That state, it's totally disqualified forever. Even though it's a live animal, Rava says, I still don't care. Once it's pushed off, it's pushed off.
Is there a specific time that Rava follows on this, or is this just
the... Excellent question. I don't know. Okay. So, Ella... So, and here the Gemara is going to spell out pretty much exactly what I said. Ella hakaman damar balechaim nidachim, hakaman damar balechaim eina nidachim. Okay, so Rava subscribes to the view that balechaim are nidachim, are pushed off, meaning once rejected, always rejected, even if the reason of rejection is no longer applicable, doesn't matter. That's Rava's position. And the Tana, the author of the Mishnah and Kinim, disagrees. And right, Ben's point is very valid. Rava has to be following a position of a Tana. Can't be Rava's just simply disagreeing with the Mishnah and Kinim. So it's got to be out there that some Tana subscribes to Rava's viewpoint. Okay, fine. So the Gemara says, okay, how about the following? The Gemara says, when it comes to a shechted animal, look, by shechted animal, if there's a reason for rejection, that rejection is going to be permanent. Everyone agrees. Live animals, it's controversial, it's debatable. But once the animal's shechted, and for whatever reason it's rejected, even if the reason goes away, the rejection stands. So, we're now on the top of Ayin Dalam et Aleph. Utanan, and we will learn in the Mishnah. Rav Elazar Omerim Krav Harosh Shel Echad Mehem Yikruvu Kol Haroshim. So, and we have the opinion of Rav Elazar. We're going to see Rav Elazar later on that if the head is offered up, this is a Mishnah later on. Mishnah is coming up in just a couple of short days from now. The Mishnah discusses the following scenario. Rashi on the bottom of the previous page describes the scenario. You have limbs of a blemished animal that got mixed up with limbs of a good carbon ola. Right? Why do you have limbs of a blemished animal? How did the animal get that to that point where now you're dealing with the limbs? Okay, I don't know. Maybe Cohen messed up and shechted a blemished animal. Okay, how we got to that point really is not the issue over here.
Isn't it system of a proper on that kind of case like that?
Only for tumah, not for blemished animals. Okay, I'm not sure how we're here, but we're here. So we're having now a tarov. It's a mixture of limbs of a blemished animal together with limbs of a tamin. And Rav Elazar says, look, if the Kohen were to ask the question, right, can I offer it? So you say to him, no, you can't. Interestingly enough, there is no bittul. There's not going to be any nullification. Limbs are always sold by unit, right? Which is interesting because animals, we entertain, maybe not all animals are sold by unit. Fine, but doesn't matter. In other words, limbs, there's not going to be any bittul. However, Im kodem shenimlach ba'hikrav echad min harashim, I'm reading from Rashi. If before the Kohen asked the question, he offered one of the limbs. Yikruvu kol, or let's say, more to be more specific. He offered one of the heads of the karbanos. He didn't ask. He just did it. So now, interestingly enough, he could offer the other heads as well. Yikruvu kol harashim. Ve'afilu chatchila. And even from a lechatchila standpoint, why? Because what we're going to say is, look, he already offered a head, and it was only one blemished animal that got mixed up with all the other animals. So now we're going to assume that the one that he offered is actually the blemished animal. Okay, now for those of you who are sensitive to statistics, you realize that's a little bit bizarre. Why? That's a crazy assumption. Meaning we have a whole bunch of animals over here. One of them is blemished, happens to be the kohen without asking, offered one of the heads up to the Mizbeach, and we're going to say, yeah, that probably was a blemished animal. From a statistical standpoint, that's not necessarily so. I'll discuss that a little bit later on this morning. So the Gemara says, so over there, right, it's a shechted animal, and meanwhile, if the Kohen offers one of them, all the rest of them can be offered. Don't we say dichui? What about the concept of dichui? Meaning in the Ta'arov estate, they were all rejected. And now because the rogue Kohen offers one of the heads, now we're going to say, oh, it's okay, bring the other heads as well, because the reason of rejection no longer applies. Who cares? Who cares that the reason of rejection no longer applies? The bottom line is that those animals were at one point rejected. Not animals, I'm sorry, let me be clear. The limbs of the animals are rejected. So the Gemara says, "Hu damer kechanan haMitzri, detanya chanan haMitzri omer afilu dam bekos, maybe chaver mezaveg lo." So the Gemara says, "Look, there is an opinion out there. Meaning, in the question, the Gemara assumed nobody holds about that by shechted animals there isn't dichui." And then the Gemara, and the answer is, yes, there is. Yes, there is. There's one Tana, even by a shechted animal, holds that if the reason of dichui goes away, we could still, you know, we could still bring it back, so to say. Chanan haMitzri is talking about the case of the two goats on Yom Kippur, you have to pair them up together while they're live animals. What if one of the animals dies, so you have to bring a new pair? Chanan haMitzri is so extreme in his position, even if dam bekos, meaning that I shechted both animals and I'm holding the blood. I shechted the seer la'Hashem, and then the blood's in the cup already. The dam is bekos, and then the seer la'zelzel dies. And so you would have said, wow, this one's rejected because its twin, its pair, is no longer alive. I didn't do what I was supposed to do, which is throw it off the cliff. And Chanan haMitzri says, no, it's okay. Get another seer. It's fine. And once you get another seer, so now you can bring the dam kos, the blood in the cup. So he doesn't hold the rejection even by shechted animals. So the Gemara says, oh, fine. So that Tana that you just quoted is following the footsteps of Chanan haMitzri. Okay, period. Okay, but... okay, that we'll leave off, we'll put off to the side. The main issue over here is the issue of mixtures, of no bittul by karbanos. What if the reason of the issur is gone? Do I say dichui? So that's the subject to a major machlokas. Okay, we're going to continue now in the world of tarovis. Now we're going to go deep into the world of tarovis. Okay, we're now going to be talking about mixtures. And again, the basic theme of the rest of today's daf is the following. We're now going to be discussing, again, like we've been discussing from the Mishnah, bittul blockers. Meaning Chachamim stepped in and said, we don't want bittul. Okay? Either because it's a davar chashuv, or as we're going to discuss in just a moment, because it's a avodah zarah, the Chachamim came along and blocked bittul. But understand, throughout the rest of today's daf, that when the Chachamim come along and block bittul, so obviously we have to follow the Chachamim, and that means that we're not certainly not going to enjoy the mixture, even though min haTorah it's fine. Min haTorah it's fine because majority rules, but for whatever reasons the Chachamim see fit, they block bittul. But because the blocking of bittul is on a derabbanan level, we're going to be apt to be more makel. We're going to throw around some svaras over the course of this morning that are going to sound a little bit, you know, a little bit weird, right? A little bit like, really? And the answer is going to be yes. But the reason why, just understand, some of these svaras that you're going to be hearing this morning is because min haTorah, there really is bittul. It's only because the Chachamim stepped in and blocked bittul, and in order to, quote-unquote, open up the rabbinic... you know, the rabbinic decree will allow svaras which you don't normally hear in the world of Tarovis. Okay, you'll see. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Baravu, Amar Rav. Tabash al-Avodis Kochamishun Estarva, B'me Tabaos. Mm-hmm. Okay. I have a ring. A ring of Avodah Zarah. It was used for Avodah Zarah. And it gets mixed up with 100 other rings. Okay? And they all look identical. And I can't tell one from the other. And so fine. Now, at this stage of the game, what do I have? I have a Tarovis. 1 to 100. Okay? It normally would say Bittul. This is Avodah Zarah. We don't say Bittul by Avodah Zarah. But again, that's a chumra de rabbanan. That's a rabbinic stringency. That the chacham and black bittul. But nafla achas mehem liyam melech hutra kulan. So if one of them fall into the yam melech, so the remainder of them become permissible.
The way you use the term nafla, it means like a b'dyevet. That goes in the
chatzkila. Yeah, you're right. You can't do lechatzkila. That's correct. Okay, correct.
Yamamelech or
Yamagadol? Oh, it does say Yamagadol.
I'm sorry.
No, you're
right.
No, usually it's Yamamelech, and later on the Gemara is going to say Yamamelech. You're right. I defaulted into what's normally said, but you're right. So, Venaflacham Emli Yamagadol, Hutra Kulan. So, the rest of them become Mutter. The Amrin and Hachta Nafal Hainu Di Isura. Because I'll say the one that fell is probably the Isser. Mm-hmm. Now, again, I said, right, I said it's probably the Isser. Again, if you're sensitive to math, if you're sensitive to statistics, it's not true. There's no probability that the one of the 101 rings that fell was the Isser. No, probability-wise, right, a 1 in 100 chance that it's not the Isser. It's a 1 in 100 chance that it is the Isser, and probably it's the Isser. But again, let's go back to what I said previously. Right, we're really going to throw around a svara that of the 101 rings now, the one that fell into the ocean is the Avodah Zarah one? That doesn't make any sense.
This is again Parim Uruba.
Correct. And the idea is that since on the Daraisa level there already is Bittul, and the only reason why we're not looking at from a Bittul standpoint is because of a Chumra de Rabbanan. So if we have a cause, which in of itself is not a strong cause, but if we have anything that we could say, not anything, but if we have something that we could say that would allow us to look at the Tarovis for what it is, right, more heter than Isser, so then we're going to do it. And here, it's not the strongest argument. One of the rings fell, must be the one of the Avodah Zarah. That's not a strong argument, but it's enough to stop the Chachamim's blocking of Bittul. Okay.
The rings are stationary, so how can you say that?
The rings are stationary.
Right.
So. Right, the limbs are stationary as well.
Yeah, so what's that concept? Push my room.
Right.
This is the part.
Right, when the rings all got together, it wasn't they got to get to the point of the Tarovitz, they were all in motion. Meaning, right, the Mishnah, we have the case of, let's say, the meat is found in the middle of the street, right? And we don't know which store it came from. So each store is Kavua.
Right.
Right. But if somebody's walking away with the piece of meat, that's called the Parsh Marupa Kaparish. For the rings to get here in the center, in other words, it wasn't Kavua, wasn't the ring fell into the pile.
And the wind blew it into the sea.
And you cannot do it.
Right.
Now.
Okay.
It has to be accidentally.
Right. It has to be right. It has to be right. Correct. Correct. That means that's sorry. I'm sorry.
What?
Is
it Bittul Bnei or Bittul Baroi?
Bittul Baroi.
So it's even better. It's definitely Bittul Baroi.
Correct.
Even the Rabbanan
except it's right because of the Chumra of Avodah Zarah. And the rabbi said, no, we're not going to allow Bittul. And so fine, so, but if there's a reason which we can overlook the Chachamim are allowing us to overlook it. If there's a reason that the Chachamim allow us to overlook, so fine.
It's similar to the case where if there was Bittul, you still couldn't use all of them, you would have to destroy one of them.
Previously we were talking about Kachim. And there's the issue of dichui. Here, we're just talking about rings of Avodah Zarah. There's no concept of dichui, right? We're not using it for the Mizbeach.
No, but I mean, if it was something that you could hold Bittul,
Right.
Would you still have to take one out of there and throw it away?
Okay, that's the Yoredeya discussion. Rashi subscribes to that viewpoint. The Rama subscribes to that viewpoint. Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. Eisvei Rava la Rav Nachman afila achas beribu yamusu kulan. Right, even if it's 1 in 10,000, this goes back to our Mishnah in Kinim. Mm-hmm. Even if it's 1 in 10,000, Yamusu Kulam, my name, Demisis Isura Mis. So the Gemara says, let's use the same line of reasoning that we just used. So Amalei Rav, Da'ama Karebi Eliezer, the non Rebbe Lezer Omer, Im Krava Arosh, Alecha Mehem Yakrivu Kol Arosh and Kulan. So the Gemara says, okay, but Rav subscribes to the rule of Rebbe Eliezer, meaning we're going to go back to that case of the limbs that got mixed up together. You had one Balmum animal that got mixed up with a whole bunch of good Olas, kosher Olas, and according to Rabbi Eliezer, only if a Kohen offered one of them, then we could offer all the subsequent ones. Now, Ivaha Amar Rabbi Lazar. Now, on this point, we haven't seen this yet. On this point of Rabbi Eliezer, the Tana, who allows all the subsequent limbs to be brought up onto the Mizbeach, even in that position of Rabbi Eliezer, that we have a proviso. A proviso provided to us by Namora, whose name is Rabbi Elazar. Okay, this always happens. It happens all the time in Shas, where Rabbi Elazar comments on Rabbi Eliezer, and it sounds a little bit confusing, but it's not so bad. It's the Amora Rabbi Elazar commenting on the Tana Rabbi Eliezer. The Hama Rabbi Elazar, Lohita Rabbi Eliezer, Ela Shnayim Shnayim, Aval Echad Echad Lo. Even in the position of Rabbi Eliezer. Let's go over what just happened. Okay, because it's not so bad. Let's just get straight. You have a whole bunch of limbs got mixed up together. Most of them are kosher carbon ola limbs. One of them, let's make it simple. One of them is a balmum. Okay? Now, the Kohen, without asking, normally we would say there's no bittul. And normally we would say you can't offer any one of them up on the Mizbeach. And the Kohen, without asking, sends one of them up onto the Mizbeach. And now Rabbi Eliezer, the Tana, says, good. Now that he did that, he shouldn't have. But now that he did that, so now we're going to assume that that was the Baal Mum that went up there, and the rest of them can go up there as well. Okay? And again, go back to the explanation I gave earlier. Why are we saying that? Because really there was Bittul to begin with. Okay. Fine. Even in that position of Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Elazar the Amora says, even still, when I take the other limbs up to the Mizbeach, I got to go two by two. I can't go one at a time, I got to go two by two. Rashi explains right here on the Gemara, why? Why do I got to go two by two? Because when I send it up two by two, the argument now is going to go like this. Look, how many Bali Mom limbs were there? In all of the limbs together, it was only one. Only one Balmum. Okay. When I take up the limbs two at a time, now...
No, for one, for sure.
Why not? But it should be actually three, though. Because Rove of the three packages...
Okay, so no, I understand that. But this is... Okay, let me just spell out Rashi, and then you want to... You ask after. So when you bring two up at a time, so the way Rashi explains it goes like this. Look, the Kohen already offered one of the limbs up to the Mizbech. That may be the Balmum. Okay, and let's even say it's not. Let's entertain the notion that it's not, which probably, by the way, it's probably not, but let's entertain that it's not. When I bring up limbs two at a time, look, one of those limbs definitely is not the Balmum. Right. Mm-hmm. Definitely not. And now, again, just to hear me out on this. This is Rashi talking. Right, I'm just a mouthpiece. Hear me out on this. If this one's definitely not, its companion is definitely not. It's like the argument of Migu. Since this one's okay as well. Now, again, as I mentioned at the beginning of today's daf, I'm going to be presenting arguments over the course of the day that are going to sound a little strange, a little bit weird. Meaning, what? What does that mean? Since this one's okay? This one, they're not related. It's not like the limbs are like, you know, sisters, brothers, or cousins. They're limbs of animals. Right? What right do I have to say about the, because this one's okay as well. Rashi, the way Rashi formulates it, it's like in the form of a migul. You want to see Rashi inside Rashi, the right alongside where we are in the Gemara, the long Rashi, Vahama Rav Elazar, right? Go to the end of that Rashi. Aval echad ve'echad lo yakriva harashim. Don't bring the heads one up at a time. De'bechol chad mistafkinan dilma de'isuruhu de'leka lameimar migu. Right, because if I bring only one up at a time, I don't have this argument of migu. But once I bring two up at a time, so now I have an argument of migu. Right. Since this one's okay as well. Now again, from a in normal svaras of the Gemara, we don't say this. We don't say, well, because this one's kosher, right? Right. Where do we say that? Again, it comes back to the basic point, which, you know, I'm trying to hammer home, is that really, to begin with, the whole Tarovis is really fine. What do you have over here? You have mostly kosher limbs mixed in with one animal that's a Baal Mum. So Min HaTorah, the whole thing was good to begin with. It's a Chumra Derabanan that blocks Bittul. So now, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you now are going to have to use two arguments, so to say, and they're not strong arguments, but you'll need two arguments. The first argument is one of the heads was already offered up by a rogue Kohen. After that, now we're going to employ a second argument. Not we, Rabbi Eliezer is going to employ a second argument, which is you bring them up two by two, and when you're doing that, look, on one of the heads, you know for sure you're okay. Mm-hmm. So,
why?
Because only one. Because in the Tarovis, only one of them was a Baal Mum.
Right, only one.
Even if the rogue Cohen's head that he offered up was not the Baal Mum, there's only one Baal Mum.
Maybe it's one. If you're forgetting about the one that was brought already, this is like a second Tliya.
Correct. Right.
I mean, second, like.
Exactly.
But if I bring two.
Right.
You know what?
Right.
Sure,
then you again say it was that one. Like,
correct.
Right.
Correct.
Is that related to the rings?
And so the Gemara is going to say, so elo shnaim shnaim aval echad echalo. So amale ani tarti kamina. So back to the Gemara. The Gemara says, yeah, you're right. Of course. Right. When I'm talking about the rings of Avodah Zarah. So I'm going to, in other words, we're going to use the same model that we had by the limbs. We're going to use the same idea by the rings as well. Meaning, correct, if I'm subscribing to the viewpoint of Rabbi Eliezer, I totally agree with you. So I can't, when I go back now, one of the rings fell into the Yam HaGadol. Okay?
What are you doing? You take two at a time.
And now when I take the rings, I'm going to take them two at a time. And wear them two at a time.
They're the same thing. There you're offering two. Once it's gone,
what do you take? Okay, I hear you. Okay, let's go on. All right, so that's one application of this how to beat the bittul blocker, right? So again, in the world of Rabbi Eliezer, it requires one of the mixture to go away, and then on top of that, even when you get to the other mixtures, you have to go two by two. Amar Rav, or Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Tabash Avodas Kocham Shenesarva B'meo Tabaos. Okay, so start off with the same scenario. One ring of Avodah Zarah gets mixed up with 100 other rings. U'parshu Arbaim L'makom Echad V'shishim L'makom Acher. Now, you have 100, 101, let's say 100. Okay, let's say it was 1 to 99. Here it doesn't matter. To get to the 100 mark is not significant. So let's say you have one and you have one gets mixed up with 99. You have a total of 100 rings. Only one of them is Avodah Zarah. Again, I'm going to remind you, Min HaTorah, it's all Bittul. The Chachamim come along because it's Avodah Zarah and block Bittul. Okay, so it's Usur. Okay, bottom line, it's Usur. So, and then it separates into 40 and 60. Okay. Now, the way the Halacha is originally presented, Parsha Achaz Me'arba Me'ino Osteres, Achaz Me'shishim Osteres. Okay, if one of the 40, in other words, of that now pile of 40, that pile of 40 is still Asar, right? It's still Asar. But if one of the rings of the 40 separate, so we're going to say that that's okay, that ring is okay. Why? Because from a majority standpoint, of the 60 and 40, where's that ring probably? Ring's probably with the 60, probably. And if you're going to say it's the 40, yeah, but one of the 40 went away, so it gives you now a second reason to say that it's okay. So the Gemara says, I'm a little confused. Maishna achas me'arbaim, delo damrinan isura beruba isa. Achas mishishim nami amrinan isura beruba isa. The Gemara says, I'm not really following. Because look, when all said and done, even if I go to the pile of 60, one of the rings separates from the pile of 60. Look, what kind of chance are we talking about now that the ring that fell from the 60 is actually the Avodah Zarah ring? Probably not. And again, that probably not is a strong argument, right? It's our, it, in of itself, wouldn't that be our second reason to say that that ring's okay? Should be. So Ella, so the Gemara says, you're right. In fact, you're so right. We're going to, let's go back, let's modify. In Pirshu Arbaim Kula L'Malkam Echad in Osros. Shishim L'Malkam Echad Osros. Oh, okay. No, we're going to say it like this. One ring fell into a pile of 99 rings. They have 100 rings. One of them is Avodah Zarah. If from that pile, 40 rings separate, you don't do this with your hands, you're not, none of this is done by you, 40 rings move to the side. 40 rings move to the side, those 40 rings are okay. Right. Because probably that ring, which was the Avodah Zarah ring, is with the 60, it's with the majority. Okay, good. Now again, we go back to the basic point. What just happened over here? Same thing that happened previously. Min HaTorah, there really was Bittul. It's a Chacham and Block Bittul. If you have another reason, another argument that you can make that says that those rings are okay, then you could work with that with the second argument. It's almost, if you will, saying sfeik sfeika. Okay, it's not exactly that, but it's very similar to the concept of sfeik sfeika. You give yourself another reason why you should be okay, and you can go with that second reason. Now, I didn't arbitrarily use the word sfeik sfeika. The Gemara is going to use this terminology. So that's why I felt a little bit more comfortable using the terminology. Shmuel says, no way. No way. We're talking about Avodah Zarah over here. He says, Safik Avodah Zarah is Aser. Sfeik Sfeika of Avodah Zarah is going to be Aser. Ad Sofa Olam. Shmuel says, when it comes to Avodah Zarah, I don't care how many layers of Safik you have one on top of the other. Shmuel says, in the world of Avodah Zarah, we're always going to say it's Aser. Meisfei. Gemara challenges, Safik Avodah Kocham Masur, Sfeik Sfeika Muteras. Oh, here in this Brisa, it's a Brisa. Here in the Brisa, we say that when it comes to Avodah Zarah, sfeik sfeika is mutter. If I have one cup of Avodah Zarah, it gets mixed up with a warehouse of cups, regular cups, non-Avodah Zarah cups, kulan asurin. So they're all going to be asur. Why? Because of the Mishnah of Avodah Zarah, which we saw just a couple days ago. The Mishnah of Avodah Zarah says that that isuri Avodah Zarah is osur b'mashihu, any amount. And again, it's because of Chacham and Block Bittul, because it's Avodah Zarah. However, Kul Nasur, Pirish Echemehem Leribu, Umeribu Leribu Mutarin. If one of those cups went and gets mixed up with another 10,000, Umeribu Leribu, and from there to another 10,000, it's going to be Mutter. So, right? So you have Sveik Sveika. In other words, you have another Suffolk compounded on the first Suffolk. And the Brisa says that's okay. So this Brisa is clearly stands against Shmuel. Shmuel says, when it comes to Avodah Zarah, I don't care how many layers of Suffolk you have, it's never going to be okay. So the Gemara says in defense of Shmuel Tanaihi, okay, look, it's Machlokas Tanaihi, Detanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rimoni Badan Osem B'Choshehu. We go back to our Rimoni Badan. Right. Remember, just a couple days ago, we learned that the pomegranates of Badan are never subject to Bittul because they're so important. So if they go into 10,000, and from those 10,000 to another 10,000, it's going to be Asur. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon, Leribu Asurin, Umiribu Leshlosha, Umishlosha Lamakam Acher Mutter. And meanwhile, Rabbi Shimon says no. The first mixture is going to be Asur. But if it goes from there into another mixture, so, right, in other words, they're going to layer another suffix on top of that, so then it's going to be mutter. Okay, by the way, the number that was chosen is from 10,000 into 3. Okay? That's an odd number. The Gemara is going to comment on that number a little bit later on. From 10,000 to 3. Why can't you say 10,000 to 2? Okay. Later on, the Gemara... Correct. But the 3, the 10,000 is fine. We're comfortable with 10,000. It's the 3 that's strange. Could have said 2. Gemara is going to ask that question later on.
It's going to have to be two steps. The first step is definite, then you got one step, and then
a subsequent step.
Last one is definite.
It does seem that way. It certainly does seem that way. Umishosh l'makam acher mutar. So good. So, but you see that there's a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Now, mind you, by the way, it's important. Mind you that this brisa that we just quoted over here is not talking about avodah zarah. It's talking about Rimone Badan, either it's Arla or it's Kalaya Kerem. Okay, whatever the case is, but the point is that the idea of whether or not Safek or Sfeik is going to be Mutter, right, seems to be subject to a Machlokas Tanayim. So the Gemara says, it's not as resolved as you think it is. Meaning, Shmuel says that when it comes to Avodah Zarah, there's never bittul. Even if we have compounded suffix, there's not going to be bittul ever. Shmuel says, at sofa olam, doesn't matter how far you go, it's always going to be usr, right? And then the Gemara says, wait a second, we have a brisa that says, no, sfeik is fine. And then the Gemara says, the machlokes tanayim. Everything is not as resolved. Because Shmuel damar, come on, Iker Rabbi Yehuda afilo b'shari surim asr. Iker Rabbi Shimon afilo b'avodas kochav nami shari. Because in that machlokas that we just quoted between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, that has nothing to do with avodah zarah. That's a general discussion. It's a broad discussion. Is sfeik ever going to work by a tarovis? Right? Because that case was not discussing the cases of avodah zarah. It was discussing generic isurim of arla and klai hakerem, and it's not so. So Shmuel says, in the world of avodah zarah, I won't say sfeika. But it sounds like from Shmuel that in other arenas of isur, he will subscribe to sfeika. So who is he following? Like v'chite mashan le the Reb Shimon ben Avos kocham l'shari isurim, and what are you going to tell me that the Reb Shimon position of the previous quoted brisa is going to make a distinction between avodah zarah and other isurim? Ela had the tanya suffik avodas kochav masura usfeik sveikam utaris mani lo rabbi Yehuda lo rabbi Shimon. But that's not going to help us, because we know that in the world of avodah zarah there's a tana out there who says there's a difference between suffik and sveik sveika, and now that's not going like Rabbi Shimon. It's not going like Rabbi Yehuda. It doesn't make sense. So lo olam Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says, look. All right, that brace is going like Rabbi Shimon. Ushmul serve like Rabbi Yehuda bechada upalek alah bechada. And what Shmuel is going to do is he's going to take a limited Rabbi Yehuda approach. Rabbi Yehuda in general never holds of sfeik sveika, never. Okay, he does not subscribe to the principle of sfeik sveika that when you have a compound suffake, that will permit the isser. Okay, Shmuel modified Rabbi Yehuda. Where Shmuel takes the general position, sfeik is fine, but not in the world of avodah zarah. Okay, period. All right, so that's that. Okay, so from this point forward, where are we in the Gemara? We started the whole discussion by a case of a ring of avodah zarah that falls into 100, and the original case presented this, and then they segregated into 60 and 40. And we said, well, the 40 rings that went off, that's fine, because this is probably still in the 60. It's a compound suffix, meaning, to start off with, it was, the whole Tarovus was Aser, but then because 40 moved away, it gave us another reason, another cause to say, those 40 okay, because this is probably in the 60. And then it led to the Gemara, to the discussion, the general discussion, do I say Sfeik Sfeika? Do I subscribe to the view of compound Sfeik and allows me to say Bittul where I normally wouldn't say Bittul? So basically it comes out now, Rav subscribes to Sfeik Sfeika. In terms of the worlds of Tanayim, Rabbi Shimon subscribes to Sfeik Sveika. Rabbi Yehuda does not subscribe to Sfeik Sveika. And Shmuel, in the world of Avodah Zarah, doesn't subscribe to Sfeik Sveika. Amamar, Mirubu Lushlosha, Mishosh Lamakam Acher Mutar. Okay, the Gemara is going to go now tidy up that last case that we just had. What happened? I had a mixture of Avodah Zarah, and it went from there to three, and from three to another place. So the Gemara here asked the question, which I foreshadowed. So the Gemara says, "Mutar Maishna Shlosha Diika Ruba Shnaim Nami Ika Ruba." So Gemara is bothered. How come? How come it went into the Bryce that chose three? Bryce could have chose two, and should have chose two, because isn't the point that it's Rove?
Wait a second. Why is two Rove? That's why I don't know.
It falls into a pile of two.
Two already.
Oh,
there,
so then there is three already.
So then there's three already.
Total. Right, okay.
So the Gemara's first answer is essentially what you just said. So my gimel diktani tarti vahu. That's what three means. Three means it and the other two. Or the Gemara says he subscribes to the view of Rabbi Eliezer. What does that line of the Gemara mean? So Rashi struggles really with this line of Gemara. That possibly he's holding like Rabbi Eliezer. Rashi offers two pshatim. Second pshat that he offers says really doesn't sit well with him. The first pshat is that this is a shita Rabbi Eliezer mentioned the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Similar to what we mentioned a little bit earlier this morning, that it's only going to be okay if one of them are thrown into the Yam HaMelech, and that's why you need three. Okay, a little bit complicated.
It fell,
and one of them fell into the Yam HaMelech. Okay, right. Okay. More on the topic of Sfeik Sfeika. Amrei Shlakish, Chavish L'Trumash Nesarva B'Meir Chavios. Okay? Barrel of Truma wine. Okay? You'll remember, again, going back to our Mishnah in Arla, our famous Mishnah in Arla, one of the things that are never subject to bittul is, right, chavios tumos, closed barrels of wine. Closed barrels of wine are a davar chashuv. They're significant, never subject to bittul. Okay? So now, chavios tumos, chavios shachumash and ezarva b'mea chavios, gets mixed up with 100 other barrels. V'nafla achas me'em liyam ha-melech. So this is a ruling in the name of Reish Lakish. Okay? Pretty similar to what we've been discussing this morning. The idea that really minatar this betel, the chachamim, because it's a davar chashuv, block betel, if we are then allowing ourselves another reason, although implausible, but as long as we have another reason to permit it, we will. If one of those barrels falls into Yam HaMelech, here, by the way, it does say Yam HaMelech.
Right.
Okay, good for me. If one of those barrels fall into the Yam HaMelech, the other barrels are going to be permissible. Okay? Good. And
the barrel floats and you can get it back.
Right, right.
It says here the shit that we can change it to Yam HaGodol.
Yeah,
because you don't want to be floating.
Right. Okay, good. Right, I see. In Gimel. Okay, good. So Yam HaMelech, Chutra, Kulan, Darmina, Hafta, Nafali, Surah, Nafal. Okay, and in fact, the Gemara, you know, at this point in time, the Gemara says, you know, we've had a lot of it this morning. we've had, and it seems to be somewhat excessive. The Yitzurichter of Nachman, Yitzurichter of Reish Lakish, because what Reish Lakish seems to be doing is really reviewing what we saw earlier this morning with Rav Nachman. One of the first things we saw this morning is that Shita Rav Nachman, where the rings get mixed up, one ring of Avodah Zarah gets mixed up with 100 rings of Avodah Zarah, and one of them falls off into the Yam HaGadol, and we said the other rings are fine. So, truth be told, is that really we have now Reish Lakish really reiterating Rav Nachman, just it's a different case, but it's basically the same idea. V'itzurechter Rav Nachman, v'itzurechter Reish Lakish, di'ir the Rav Nachman, havamina hanimil avodas kocham de'in lamatirin. Look, by Avodah Zarah, you're not going to hear this that often from the Gemara, but the Gemara here says it. I would be apt to think by Avodah Zarah we will be more makel, because in the world of Avodah Zarah, like, you're really stuck. Like, Avodah Zarah is Avodah Zarah and will always be Avodah Zarah, and there's never a matir. Aval truma di'esh lamatir in love, but by truma, it's not the end of the world by truma, because you'll give it to a kohen. Sell it on the cheap to the kohen. So by truma, this tarovis is not the end of the world. So, interestingly enough, I'd be more apt to be makel by Avodah Zarah because there's no other way out. And again, I'll say it again. How we're being makel? Yes, because remember, to begin with, there was bittul, min haTorah.
Right.
It's just that the Chachamim blocked Bittul. So if there's a reason to be Makel, so the Gemara is throwing out a Svara, will be apt to be Makel by Avodah Zarah. The Ema de Reish Lakish Hava Min Achavis de Minkara Nefilasa. Aval Tabas de Lo Minkara Nefilasa Lo Tzricha. And the Gemara also says we can go the other direction and give a Svara, why I would be more Makel by the barrels. One of the barrels falls into the Yamagadol, like you notice that. Like there's a barrel missing. One of the rings fall into the ocean, 100 rings. I really noticed one of the rings gone. Not as much. So because it's because it's a large, I think it's just because it's a larger object. I don't.
Everybody will know that something fell in.
And maybe you see it actually fall in.
Yeah, you see it. Everybody will know that okay. One fell off.
We all have a big empty spot where it used to.
That's what I think. Right? I agree with that. I agree with Aaron. I think it's just its absence. You just see its absence. A pile of rings, you don't see its absence.
If you walk past
the parking lot and there's an empty space, you notice it.
Sure.
I think that's the pshat. Okay, I'm not going to try to convince you, but I think so. So about tabat lo minkar nefilasa lo tzricha. So the Gemara says that's why I need both. And by the way, just if you look at the Shita Mekubetzis in base. I don't often quote it, but here he basically says what we've been saying all morning. But now Flachas Mehem Demidar Rice and this Batals Bemeya. It's the second line of the Shita Mekubetzis. I know it's small print. Right, I apologize for your eyes, but the midrash writes in this Badla B'meil. Look, because to begin with there was bittul to begin with. Ela Rabbanan Gazur Alam, but it's the Chachamim who made the Gzeira de Rabbanan of no bittul because it's a davar chashev. They came into Chavis Sistuma he chashev alo bittul. The Hilchah Kinav Lachas Mehem LeYamagadol Sharin and Hashar Kedibrisha LaEl B'Tabas. And now, because one of them fell into the Yamagadol, so we're going to be Makel. Because anyway, to begin with, there really was Bittul to begin with. The Dafka Susum, okay, fine. And then, right, and then it has to be Stuma, because if it's Pesuch, then it's not a Davar Chashev. Okay, good. A little bit more for this morning. Yeah, yes. Amarava, lo hita reish lakish elachavis, dimintgra nifilasa, aval te'ina lo. The idea that if one of them goes into the Yamagadol, we're going to permit the rest. That's only by a barrel, where its absence is noticed. But if it's just a fig, where its absence is not noticed as much, no. Rav Yosef Amar Afilu Te'ena Kinefilasa Kachaliasa. No, Rav Yosef disagrees. No, even by a fig. Look, if one fig is going to create Isser, then one fig going away is going to create Heter in this. In this particular case, where there was Bittul, but the Chachamim blocked Bittul. Okay. Amar Rav Elazar Chavish Shal Truma Shenafla B'Kuf Chavios. All right. I have one barrel that gets mixed up with 100 barrels. Poseach Echem Mehem V'Notol Hemenu K'dei Dimua V'Shoseh. So I open up one of the barrels. Take out the amount of the mixture and drink. Okay, now Yosef Rav Dima v'kama lahashmais amalei Rav Nachman gama v'shasi kachazina hacha. What are you doing over here? You're just gonna pick a barrel open. Nothing happened over here that allowed you to drink. Meaning you had. One barrel gets mixed up with 100 barrels. They're all stumos. It's a davar chashev. There's no bittul. What's going on over here? What are you allowing? Ella Amos of the Gemara says, "Oh, you're right. Okay, spoke a little too soon. That's not what I'm saying. Niftecha achas mehem notol haymenek de dimu v'shoseh. If one of them opens up, so then you pour out the possible iser, and then you drink." I'm Rabbi Oshia Chavish Shal Truma Shenis Arva B'Meya V'Chamishim Chavios. You have a barrel of Truma. It gets mixed up with 150 barrels. V'Niftechu Meya Mehen. And of those 150, 100 barrels opened up. Those 100 barrels that opened up now no longer a Davar Chashev. We're entertaining the discussion of Bittul. Notol Heimenu K'dei Dimur V'Shoseh. So, pour out the possible taroves, and then you're allowed to drink. Bishar asurin, and the rest, as far as the rest of it is concerned, it's going to be aser, until they get opened up. Lo imrinan, because here, we're not going to simply arbitrarily say, isur beruba isa, oh, the isur, oh, it must be in the 100. No, because those 50 to begin with were aser, because of the bittul that was inhibited by the chachamim, and therefore they will remain aser. Okay, good. Achi yiftichu, until they get opened up. Once they get opened up, once they get opened up, now they're no longer davar chashuv. No, not lechatchila. If one, if only, only if. Correct. Correct. Right. I mean Rashi. Right. No. Right. Okay.
When you open it up, you're also going to have to take a proportion out of each one of those.
When you open, yes. I assume so. Okay, let's go back. Okay, so today, right? So today we covered, we finished off the topic of dichui, right? Do we subscribe to dichui? So there are now shades of positions and whether or not we follow by dichui or we do not follow by dichui. Okay. We went on to the discussion of taharoves and sveika by taharoves. And essentially, we have the opinions of Rav Nachman, we have the opinion of Reish Lakish, that we do say sveika by taharoves in a scenario where there was bittul, the chachamim blocked bittul because it's a davar chashuv, because it's a avodah zarah, for a host of reasons that we were discussing this morning. And if I'm able to layer on an additional reason as to why it's permitted, so then it becomes permitted. The case of the ring falling in to one to the 100 other rings, if one of the rings falls into Yam HaMelech, the case of Reish Lakish, where I have one barrel and one of the barrels falls into the Yam HaMelech, there we do say Sfeik Sfeika. Another example of Sfeik Sfeika we discussed this morning is when I have a tarov, it's a mixture where the Chachamim blocked Bittul, one fell into another pile, and then from there, one separated from that other pile. Again, we're going to say Sfeik Sfeika, that we have a second reason now to say that it's Mutter. So under those circumstances, there are other opinions in the Gemara today. We saw Shmuel never subscribes to Sfeik Sfeika by Avodah Zarah. We saw that Rabbi Yehuda never subscribes to Sfeik Sfeika under in any of these circumstances, but good. That's the but the opinion of Rav Nachman, the opinion of Reish Lakish is that when the Chachamim block Bittul, if there's another reason to be Tola and to allow it, so we're gonna say Sfeik Sfeika. Okay, good. We'll stop over here. Okay, before we finish today, I saw